Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration this morning is our gospel text. That was the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 30. These last texts here of the chapter really need to be defined in their understanding by the context of the rest of the chapter. You see, the chapter 11 begins really with Jesus commanding the 12 disciples to be able to send them out, which was a type of him commissioning them for the Great Commission that would go into all the world. Also, as the disciples had gone through Israel, and the signs and wonders were not only happening in Jesus' ministry, which was evidence by what he's going to tell and how he's going to answer John in chapter 11, but also they were now manifesting in the 12 whom he empowered and gave all the authority to do the very same things that he had done. When this news got back to John, John had some questions. It's a question that we need to ask ourselves in our time. You see, there's some that believe that John's question was really coming from maybe a lack of faith or a weakness in faith. But I don't think so. You know, it's said of the Old Testament prophets that after they had prophesied, they even went back and then began to study their own prophecies. Because when you're making the prophecy, sometimes you don't comprehend everything there. You can't possibly. So you have to go back and study it. And how many times have we really been convicted of a particular truth, as John was when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There can become times in that when we walked in a clear revelation, but then in a time of weakness, we begin to wonder. Such was the case with John this time. He sent his disciples and he said to them, "Ask him, ask Jesus specifically, are you the one that is to come or should we expect another? Are you the one that is to come or should we expect another?" Of course, he was referring, are you that Christ that was promised to come to redeem the human race from the fall in Genesis 3:15? Are you the one that all the prophets throughout the Old Testament proclaimed would come? Are you the one? Again, that is an important question for us today. We need to settle in our hearts who Jesus is. Because if we have a false Jesus, if we've broken the first commandment, if we've created God in some image that we've made up in our mind, that we have a wax God or a wax Jesus, we formed them in to some concept of God that really fits our lifestyle, then we have an idol in a false God. So John's question is a valid question. And again, we should revisit that question in our own hearts. Are you the one, Jesus, that was to come? How did Jesus answer John? It was a great question. But as all the old prophets did, they pointed to all the attributes of the Messiah, of his person and the work that he would do. Jesus quoted right out of Isaiah, "Go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised." Truly, that would be the sign of the Messiah, as he came back to take the dominion stolen from Adam. Death entered in as Adam broke the command of God. But now Jesus has come, and he is going to restore the original creation. He's going to not only the signs and wonders follow him, but he's now going to commission the 12, and eventually they're going to be sent out into all the world, not only to reconcile the Jews, but to reconcile the Gentiles as well, grafting them into that one olive tree, that tree of salvation that God himself had planted. That's what it was about. Go tell John what you've seen. I'm fulfilling all of the messianic prophecies that were written about me. That will build his faith and give him peace to understand. So that brings us then to our text today. Again, some of those things that John did, in fact, Jesus said of John is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, the greatest prophet born of a woman. Why was that? Because all the prophets up until then had prophesied about the coming Messiah. But John introduced him. John was there and saw him and proclaimed to the world, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Our text today begins in verse 25 of the 11th chapter. And it says, "At this time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things to the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes.'" You see, as the 12 had went out and throughout Jesus' ministry, it was always the Sanhedrin that stood in his way, that resisted his message. In fact, they had done that to John as well. They had gone out and John said, "You brood of vipers, who has warned you of the judgment that is to come?" You see, as the people were repenting and coming out to John and receiving the baptism for the remission of sins, these religious leaders stood at a distance. They would not submit to it. In fact, Jesus even asked them the question one time, "John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it of man? Did it have heaven's authority or was it just an act of man?" Well, the Pharisees understood the question quite readily. They knew they were trapped because they said, "If we say it is of men, the people believe that John's a prophet. They will stone us." Rightfully so. "But if we say it was from heaven, the authority of his message and his baptism, then he's going to ask us, then why didn't you believe him?" And that is really at the heart of it. If we really believe that Jesus is that one sent from God right from the beginning to restore the fallen world. In fact, the Father himself says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We better humble ourselves and listen to him. And Jesus is saying right here, "Father, because I've sent them out, I preach your word, I've sent them out. And all the religious leaders, not only in Jerusalem, but in all the synagogues throughout Israel, resisted his message. They considered them wise stewards over the oracles of God. They sat in Moses' seat as teachers of Israel, pastors. And yet they didn't abide in the true faith. They didn't take care and be good stewards over the oracles of God, his word. No, they walked in ways that were contrary to God's word." And Jesus is here. He says, "I'm thanking you, Lord, that you've hidden these things from those that are wise, who have resisted my ministry and your word, but you've revealed it to babes." Everywhere Jesus went, in spite of these religious leaders standing in his way, yet God was saving a remnant. He was calling a remnant to himself. They were babes. So the term here for babe is not one that is to be child or childish, but childlike. We must make that distinction. In Matthew, Jesus took a child to himself, set him on the midst of them. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you by no means will enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said that and rehearsed that very same thing when he talked about John. John was the greatest prophet, and yet the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than John. Why? Because they received the word and the message of the Christ. And even in our day, despite all of the religious authority that would water down the word of God, yet God is still calling a remnant to himself. Yes, we are to be childlike, but not childish in our faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," in other words, you've come to the faith, you've been in the faith a long time, "for although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of the use of the word of righteousness have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Especially in our dark day, how do we discern all of these ideologies, all of these movements that are going through our society at this time? How do we discern whether they're good or evil? By the word of God. Christians, this world needs answers to things. We need to understand that Jesus is calling us to be a witness to him in the world and of the Father. You need to be and know the word of God and be certain on these things, these moral truths that the word of God teaches, to help the world come out from this confusion that is being presented to them. You see, when we come to Jesus and we're truly in his word, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," truly you're going to have a relationship, not only with me, but with the Father. In fact, your prayers are going to be answered because you abide in me and my words abide in you. So Jesus says this, he says, "All things have been given to me by my Father." That means all power in heaven and earth. He has taken back that dominion. He is the authoritative one. And not only does he have all power, but he is the only one that can lead us to the Father and make the Father known to us. Listen to Jesus' words. "And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." The power of the revelation of the Father is in Jesus' hands. He has said that. "No one goes to the Father except through me. In fact, nobody can come to me," Jesus says, "unless the Father draws him." And when that work is done, do you know that's a supernatural work, a conversion? That's what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured into our hearts. We became the temple of the living God. We were not only just forgiven and empowered to be his children and witnesses, we were made to be partakers of the divine nature. We have a relationship with the Father. The Son has introduced us through his person, through his work. He has introduced us to the Father. We know him and we love him, even though we haven't seen him. Why do we know that and have that relationship? Again, because the Holy Spirit is in our heart. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No matter what form you've taken of Jesus, if he isn't the way, the truth, and the life in all things, then you don't have the right Jesus. And you're not going to the right Father. So it comes to the heart of the text. He says, "Lord, I've sent my message out, and now I'm sending them out and empowering the disciples to go out and bring that message of salvation to everyone." He says, because that is my desire. As those 70 went out, what did they go out to do? To introduce Jesus. To tell about Jesus, this Jesus that is fulfilled in these very words. What was the ministry of Jesus? What was on the tongue of every one of his disciples? It was these words. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "Come to me, all come to me." You've picked up and practiced the things of this world. You've taken on the yokes of bondage that's of the world. They're heavy burdens. Maybe in your religious life, you're trying to prove your righteousness before God. You're trying to earn God's favor by being a good Christian or whatever form of spirituality you might have. That's a heavy burden. You might be going through life trying to satisfy this inner drive and yearning. And it's there because of the fall. St. Augustine said it best. He says, "The heart is restless, O Lord, until it finds its rest in you." What is the heart looking for? It's really looking for Jesus. But when we go through this world, we're born into this world in the fallen state. All of a sudden, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life take over. We go and we try to cure this restlessness in our heart by gaining possessions, by indulging every one of our senses. We pursued the things of the world. We made idols out of our family and our friends, our jobs and everything else. And none of those cure that restlessness in our heart. No, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you understand that that's a promise right from Jesus? The Holy Spirit is touching your heart at this very moment because you know these words are true. If you're heavy laden, you're confused about your spiritual state, you're in the world, you're trying to make yourself pleasing to God, and it's not working. If life is a burden, you're heavy laden with whatever it may be. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That is a promise from our Savior. Do you know when he says he'll do something, he will perform it? He will give you that rest that you're looking for. He will give you that peace that passes all understanding in your heart, which the world cannot give to you, that only comes from him. No, Jesus says, he gives the invitation, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen.